Stone Circle is back in June 2024. Forget your Glastonbury's and your Coachella's. This is the Midsummer Festival every gravel rider needs on their calendar. With three awesome routes, 55k, 155k and 220k's, there really is something for everyone. There's also a campsite with showers, hot food, cold beer, an optional fancy dress hill climb and lots of other fun stuff to make it the best weekend of 2024. Prices from £55, book Stone Circle today at hotchili.com and get a fiver off with the code PODCAST5. Hot Chili is spelled H-O-T-C-H-I-L-L-E and .com is spelled full stop C-O-M. Welcome to another edition of Sigma Sports Presents Matt Stevens Unplugged, your weekly catch-up with all things that are tangential, it says here, to cycling. In this episode, I'll be answering your random questions in our first ever Ask Matt feature. So thanks everybody who got on the internet, on the social, and pinged me some questions. I'll play a little bit more from Kenny's cassette. I hope he's okay. And we have a first for this podcast, a current world champion of something. Yes, Rowan Dennis and I chat about holding power, chocolate hangovers, and of course, methods for relocating your Lego collection to the Southern Hemisphere. Matt Stevens Unplugged by Sigma Sports. Yeah. If you're in the market for a new bicycle, now is the perfect time to pick up a shiny new BMC, as ridden by BMC legends George Hincapie, Cadel Evans, and Fabian Cancellara. And if you order before the end of April, you can save up to £750. So just head over to sigmasports.com/podcast, where you'll find all the details, links to previous pods, and a sneak peek of who's coming on the next show. Now it's time for what I hope will become a regular segment on the podcast. It's Ask Matt. Ask Matt. Right, I've got the questions here in front of me. These have been taken from, as we mentioned, social media. Not by me, so I haven't caught sight of them yet, which is actually quite exciting. So they're totally unprepared. And you can, well, you can't hear my finger scrolling because it's a trackpad. But here we are. First up is this from Jordan Reed. Jordan_Reed. Fire fashion zone fire. I don't actually know what that means, but it's saying when you're getting dressed, do you do socks first and then trousers, or trousers first then socks? That's a good question. I do have a particular order, although do you know what, that order has completely gone to pot since the lockdown. But generally speaking, I go for pants, then socks, and I do right sock first, left sock, then trousers, then shirt or t-shirt, and then shoes last, and then coat after that. It's very rare that I put a coat on and then shoes. I don't think that's ever happened. It may have done, but quite often if I do something in the wrong order, I'll actually rewind my method and then start again, like reset myself. So if I put my left sock on first by accident, say I'm in, you know, in haste, and I realize, I'll take it off, put the right one on, and then go back to normal. And I did that with shoes. Again, I had to put the right shoe on first, left shoe second. And if that's in the wrong order. And the same, actually, clipping in the bike. If I get on a bike and accidentally clip my left foot in first before my right, I'll unclip the left to put my right one in first. How weird is that? And second up from Jordan Reed, two, hoodie and shorts, fashion forward or fashion faux pas? I think you can get away with it. If you're going casual, if you're going really stealth casual to get a pint of milk, I think you can get away with hoodie and shorts. Next up is this from Gareth at The Red Machine. Hobnobs or flapjack cookies? Oof. Anybody from international waters? Hobnobs are a very famous oat-based British biscuit. They are sold overseas, I believe, but they're generally far more expensive. But they are borderline a luxury biscuit brand. They're very, very tasty. Great dunked in tea. If you get a good flapjack cookie, especially with raisins in, a couple of chocolate chips, it's a difficult choice. I would go for a good homemade flapjack, but a close second. It'd be a photo finish and a hobnob in second place. But if you haven't got anything, you want to go for hobnobs, they are the ones to go for. I went to Poundland again the other day, and I got a packet of hobnob bars, which have... they're basically like caramel shortbread hobnob bars. They are absolutely fantastic. Five for a pound. Next up, cycling_dragon. Favourite biscuit? Blimey, it's just a lot of biscuit questions today. Favourite biscuit? That is a good one. Again, I haven't seen these questions before. I'm having to think live. probably get some special effects in here, probably some antiquated mechanical device moving whilst rusty and hadn't been oiled for nearly a century. That would probably be the sound of my mind. I think favourite biscuit, I'm into those little ones that you have, that you get free with a coffee, with Speckaloos, the Speckaloo ones. They are probably at the moment my favourite biscuit. But going back in time and looking at my life more broadly, it's got to be shortbread. Or I do love a little, just a plain digestive, because they're just so simple. They're the do-it-all biscuit. They can be sweet, they can be savoury. You can dunk them in tea, or you can have them with a bit of cheese on top. Paul Nicholson asks, hi, in relation to Ask Matt, what's your favourite Pokemon? And what happened to Top Bonk this season? I'm asking for a friend. Keep up the great pods and cafe rides. Cheers. Hi, Paul. My favourite Pokemon for ease is going to be Pokemon. I'm looking now directly at a Nintendo 3DS and one of the old ones, actually. And Pokemon's on the cover. It's limited edition. So Pokemon, the Pokemon, the yellow one with a little lightning tail, which denotes whether it's male or female, apparently. So the main yellow one with a little nose. It's very, very cute indeed. I don't actually play Pokemon. I'm a passive viewer of gaming. I love gaming. I love the kind of world of gaming, but I don't game. I just watch. I'm a spectator, basically, apart from Zwift, of course. And what else did you ask? And what happened to Top Bonk? Well, listen to the end of this show, and we've got Kenny back on the show, I think. But he's not in the greatest state at the moment, to be perfectly honest with you. Bob Oliver, apple bobbin, tomato sauce or brown sauce with egg and chips or no sauce at all? Well, I wouldn't ever have egg just with chips. I'm not a big fan of egg and chips. Scrambled egg and chips, that's just weird. That's just beige, a little bit too beige for my liking. But if I were to have fish and chips, it would be both. I'd have brown sauce or red sauce, and I'd be upset if I couldn't have any sauce whatsoever with anything. I think I would actually probably weep, because I don't think you can have chips without something to dip them in, to be perfectly honest with you. I'd even use chili sauce if in the absence of any brown or red sauce. Nanook with a dog emoji, at Bazer or Bazer 100. In your opinion, who would win a fight, Batman or Superman? And whose corner would you be in? Well, in a fight, it would be Superman, wouldn't it? I mean, unless you watched the Dawn of Justice film. It's not a bad film. Visually sumptuous, but lacking in some soul, I think, that film. But the answer's in there somewhere. Depends if Batman had some kryptonite, which he did, didn't he? He fought Superman with some kryptonite and sort of evened the playing field a little bit. But I think if they both rolled their sleeves up, I think with one punch, Superman could punch Batman into the atmosphere, and that would be it. Although my favourite of the two superheroes is Batman, to be perfectly honest with you. Well, that was a lot of fun. We'll undoubtedly do this again. So please do keep your questions coming in on social media with the hashtag AskMatt with two T's. But don't forget at Sigma Sports and me, that's Real Stevens. And who knows, you might have your questions answered live in my bedroom or my little upstairs studio, but recorded for playback anywhere. Did you just hear the doorbell downstairs? Somebody's at the door. Holly? Who was at the door? Anything exciting? We got some pond plants delivered. There we go. Pond plants. Rowan Dennis is a professional bike rider for Team Ineos and one of the most successful Australian cyclists of all time. And in September 2019 in Yorkshire, he romped to the finish line in beautiful Harrogate to become the UCI Road World Champion in the individual time trial for the second time. It was an amazing day and an amazing ride. Now, he's worn yellow, pink, red and the national jersey a bunch of times too, and he's on the line. There's no real structure to this, Rowan. It's going to ebb and flow like the tide on a beach. that's the way that this podcast rolls. But first and foremost, mate, thanks very much for joining us.
Ah, my pleasure. What are the rules for this?
I think, mate, there's no real rules. As long as there's the occasional shits, all right, but as long as we can just keep the real profanities to the side. But it is quite, there's no real rules, mate, to be honest with you, but it's certainly not overly filthy, if that's all right. But,
yeah, that's fine. I was just making sure it was out on the table. And
oh no. But no, Ryan, thanks mate for joining us. This is the second edition of the podcast. What we'll do is drop in lots of little special effects and stuff around things, just to sort of pep things up, which is quite nice. So if you've got a bit of time this afternoon when you're maybe sat on the toilet, you can listen to our previous one so you know what to expect when they pull this one together. But Rowan, first thing I'd like to do, if you don't mind, could you just tell people where in the world you are and describe what you can immediately see with your eyes.
I am currently in Girona in the spare room of, or one of the spare rooms of my house. I am literally looking at a three-door wardrobe. And to the left of it is the door to walk into the room, and to the right is a small window half covered by the curtain.
Bloody hell, mate. That's quite a lot of detail, actually. It'd be really good to say, I mean, as you probably know, I was a police officer back in the day. I mean, if I was asking for some evidence or a statement from you, I'd be pretty happy with that.
I didn't actually mention the different, weirdly different coloured ochre wall feature as well, but I thought I'd leave that part out.
Maybe what you can do is send us a photograph later on and we can put it onto one of the ads of the podcast just so people can really kind of imagine themselves there with you, mate.
I'll do a panorama so you can really see what I'm actually looking at. There's even a vacuum cleaner on the ground and all. I've really picked the best room in the house, to be honest.
It sounds like a wonderful landscape of creativity, really. What I'd also like to know, because, you know, when people describe things to you, you become intrigued at certain elements. What is in the wardrobe? Now you said the word wardrobe. Is it just like an empty one? Are there games, puzzles inside, kids stuff, or is it just clothes?
From memory, it has... Do you know what? I'm just going to open it up.
Yeah, check it out, mate, because this is what people are going to be listening to this for.
Well, there is a whole heap of wrapping paper. There is a one of those Strider bike things for Oliver, which he isn't quite actually tall enough to ride yet. And every time he gets on it, he cracks the shit because he can't ride it, but loves it. There's a small step ladder, a two-step ladder in the small part, and then just a heap of pillows and crap at the top. But, yeah, it's just a whole heap of odds and ends. The other room has Lego boxes from all of our Lego, but that's about it.
Fantastic. I mean, that was, it's almost like a really semi shit version of Cribs there, wasn't it?
It is full shit.
That could be a new feature, wardrobes of the pros. We just pick a random wardrobe and they take us around for 2 minutes to fill some time. But jeez, mate. I'm intrigued about you mentioning Lego. Now, we all love Lego. I mean, I know you're 29, mate.
29, nearly 30. 29. I am, what, 30 in, or just over a month.
28th of May, I believe.
Yep, 28th of May. Same birthday as Kylie Minogue.
Whoa.
Look, she doesn't have the looks I've got, but no. I'll let her off on that one.
Are you a Kylie Minogue fan?
I'm not really into the pop stuff. My dad used to rave on about her, but I think he just had a bit of a... sort of fanboy moment because she is quite good looking. But
let's be honest, I mean, Kylie Minogue was she's still lovely now. She's a little bit, I think she's about 54 now, 53.
She looks 30.
I was an early back in the 80s, I used to love Neighbours, and then obviously she transcended Neighbours and became a global pop phenomenon.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of Kylie Minogue. But I was actually talking about Lego. We went on to Kylie. This is what I love about conversation. It's sort of tangential.
Yeah, Lego is, I'll go back to the Lego. Something I started, well, I've always loved it, but obviously it's not that cheap anymore. It's actually quite expensive, especially if you want to get something that's going to last more than 30 minutes building wise.
Yeah.
And I just sort of thought, I'm not going to buy any. Then in 2016, I went through a period where I was super sick for quite a while, about like just on and off, couldn't get things right. For about 6-8 weeks, early season. And I've just gone, stuff it, and just started buying Lego. And like I went from ones that were 1,500 pieces all the way up to one I bought last year, which is 7,500 pieces.
Wow.
And actually, funny story, one of them that year was the London Bridge. And that's 4,500 pieces. And I got halfway through it. It was on my coffee table and I accidentally knocked it or one of the towers off of the coffee table. Now, I'm sitting on a lounge just to put it in like it. I'm about 1.5 feet off of the ground, obviously. I thought it would be smart to try and catch it with my foot.
Okay.
It just exploded.
Oh, no, I mate.
Kicked it and just went straight, like just exploded across the room. Oh, and mate. People were like, oh, what did you do? Did you lose it? I actually laughed because it was that stupid. What I thought would actually help. And it was the complete opposite.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, that's a kind of one of those inbuilt automatic responses that we have, isn't it? That you'd probably do it if it was a coffee or something, just to try and maybe lessen the blow with your foot. But to actually catapult it into oblivion is something quite special. Wow, and also disappointing. I think
it was like it just the image of like the image of, I have in my head of how it happened, and just it just sprayed. I was like, well, shit.
Oh mate, yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of Lego from back in the. Well, back in the 1980s when I was growing up, when before they really had anything aside from houses and stuff to build, then it went to like space Lego, and then recently there's all the
Batman things.
Yeah, I've actually got a bat car because my lad now is he's 19, but he's still got all the Lego. And I think in about 2005, 2006, I bought a Star Wars Death Star Destroyer.
Yep.
And that's about 1,500 pieces, and that took us 2 days to build. But I just love it. I think Star Wars Lego is my favorite stuff. I mean, I do go into Lego shops quite a lot and just look around and take pictures. It's strange because all these kids are there. It's a bit weird, but...
Wait, as long as you're not taking pictures of the kids...
No, I don't do that. So what sort of Lego do you go for? Is it more like the kind of... Because there's some really cool architecture stuff, or is it more cars, or is it like Harry Potter? Because there's so much variety now, isn't there?
Everything. To be honest, I look at... I go on the website and I go, okay, what are the ones with the most pieces now?
Yeah.
So I've got the Millennium Falcon, pretty sure. And that's the new one. That is.
Whoa.
So that's the 7,500, pretty sure it's 7,500 pieces. It's still in its box because it's up in Andorra. And when I actually bought it was when Mel was about to give birth and just never got around to building it. But I will. I've got London Bridge. I've got Big Ben. I've got Ferrari F40, or I think it's F40, F50. Mini combi van. There's race cars that Mel's built. There's a big, like a crane truck thing. There's a semi-trailer Mack truck.
Wow.
Oh, Burj Khalif.
Wow, that's a lot of Lego. I mean, what you'll have to do, mate, when you eventually do get repatriated with your Millennium Falcon, is stick some pictures on Instagram, mate, because I'd love to see it. Because I've looked at that in the Lego shop, and again, I think it's about 700, 800 pounds, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like nearly £1,000 sterling, isn't it, for the price? But it looks beautiful.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like I said before, the reason I didn't do this when I was in my late teens or anything is because it costs so much. It's actually not that cheap anymore. I actually asked my parents to give me some Lego for my birthday a few years back. I think it was or Christmas. And I got the Sydney Opera House.
Nice.
So I built that while I was in Adelaide during Till Down Under sort of period. And then left it there with my parents, and it's built up in their house. So,
flipping. I mean, the thing is, bike riders, I mean, everybody likes Lego. It's the most popular toy in the world. But I remember a couple of years back, I had a Lego building competition with Cav, and that lad can build Lego fast. He is so, so quick. He blew me away, mate. He beat me by, we only built a tiny little, I've actually got one here. I'm upstairs in my little studio, and it's a micro fighters, 6 to 12 years of age.
Yep.
It's a micro Star Destroyer.
Did you put a video up about that? I remember.
Yeah, back in the GCN days. Yeah.
Yep. You did.
Yeah, and but he said it was something to do with his little fingers moving really, really fast, like his little legs, I guess, moving really, really fast. But he beat me hands down. It was embarrassing. I thought I was a bit of a Lego expert, mate. So I was really firmly put in.
I love it. I love it.
And are you a rider that, I mean, everybody's on the home trainers. We did that, commentated on the race that you did the other day on Zwift when you blew the field apart. I mean, do you
Scent
quite.
Scent I mean, it, you
pardon?
Scent it.
Your singular post on Twitter was just the word scent it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Scent it. Yeah, there was enough.
And that was, I believe, I didn't realize until last night, and somebody told me when I was doing another Zwift race, that that was your best 30-minute power ever.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's incredible.
I'm not sure where it came from. I was just cruising along. I thought, oh, you know what, I'm not feeling too bad. And then I just sort of got bored. And I pressed set. I basically pressed set as if it was a time trial or an effort or something. And I just went, okay, I'm going to start at threshold. And then I just kept building and building and building. And I'm like, okay, that's that sweet spot that hurts, but I'm not going to blow. And I just held that.
Right.
And then I just pressed set with 300 meters to go. And that was 30 minutes and just rolled to the finish line, to be honest with you.
And again, what were your stats? I've not drilled down and seen the stats. What was the 30-minute power, mate?
I was up in the high 440s.
Whoa.
So, okay, that's,
yeah. You'll take that, won't you?
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm not going to.
Well, I'll tell you what, talking about stats, we're gonna break things up a little bit now, mate. I did preempt this a little bit, didn't I? I sent you a message before we came on air to say there'll be a little mini Rowan Dennis quiz.
It'll be embarrassing if I don't get it right, though.
So, that's, I mean, the thing is, I don't think that they're not ridiculous, mate. It's centered on your racing, but stats around racing. And I'm going to give you a little bit of help, okay? Because it's amazing that I speak to some riders, and some riders have real no clue about their results. Others know, you know, in intimate detail, especially Brad Wiggins. He knows everybody else's results, doesn't he? He is insane. He's a real statistician. But I'm going to do a little jingle now, and then we'll head into the quiz, okay? So just bear with me. Quiz time, quiz time, quiz time, quiz time with Rowan Dennis. That was a jingle.
You practiced that, haven't you, mate?
Do you know what? I just rolled that out, mate. I just rolled that out.
I could tell.
Thanks, mate. Oh, cheers. Thanks very much. Right then. So get your thinking cap on, Rose.
Here we go.
This is question. There's only three questions. Then we've got another little quiz a bit later on to do with snacks. So question number one. Okay. Your first ever medal at world championship level was silver at the world championships under 23 for the individual time trial in Valkenburg. But my question to you.
I thought that was actually the question.
Yeah. No.
No, you're wrong there.
Who shared the podium in Valkenburg for the under 23 world time trial? In 2012, you were the silver medalist. Who won and who was third?
See, this is, I know it was a Russian guy and I always forget his name, but I'm pretty sure it had Anton in it.
His first name was Anton, definitely.
There we go. Yep. Yeah. See, I don't know his last name. And Damien Housen was third.
It was Anton Vorobyev I'm reading it off obviously website. Anton Vorobyev, yeah. And then your mate Damien Housen. For a bonus point, Rowan, how many seconds behind you was Damien Housen?
Oh, that was real close. I think it was like four. Was it?
It was 7 seconds, mate, but a cracking guess.
Jesus.
Right, there you go. You've got half a point there for Anton Vorobyev anyway. So we're going to move on now. So good effort there, bud. I'm warming you up quite nicely. Question number two. What was your average speed when you won the Worlds last year in Yorkshire? Was it A, 49.782 kilometres an hour?
No.
Was it B, 49.699? Or was it C, 49.792?
Wait, what was the first one again? 49.
Okay, I'll go for them again. A, 49.782. B, 49.699. Or C, 49.792.
I'd say C.
You're going to go for C.
Yep, I'm going with the C.
It's not. It was A, 49.782. See, but you're only a tenth of a second out, mate. I thought that one might throw you, actually.
I thought it was 49.9 because I saw someone post something saying, oh, come on, mate, you could have gone that extra 0.1 or something, or 0.01 to make it 50. But obviously there's a exact time that was eventually calculated to be a little bit lower. That's why I said nope to number one, to A instantly.
Yeah, well, I like the way you kind of clearly forward it through. Yeah, so you basically, your time was 10505.350.
Yep.
So a thousandth of a second there to give 49.782. Obviously, well over a minute in front of Evenepoel. But good stuff. You're nearly there, mate. So I'm going to give you half a point for that, although you're technically wrong. But I like
I'm
the
not
way
doing
that
good
you,
here.
Well, the thing is, though, mate, I like the way that you tried to work things out. So there's a process to your answering, which is always good. Question number three. It's the final question in the Rowan Dennis quiz round. Okay, get your thinking cap on, mate. Question three. What was the time when you won the Worlds in Innsbruck? So I just need your time, okay? Was it A, 1.03.01? Was it 1.0302? Or was it 1.303? So 1 hour, 3 minutes and 1 second. 1 hour, 3 minutes and 2 seconds. Or 1 hour, 3 minutes and 3 seconds.
1 hour, 3 minutes and I'm going to say 1 second.
It was B. Sorry, mate. God. Oh, buddy. Oh, mate.
Come on.
Sorry. But you're only 1 second out.
You know, the thing, yeah, you can only be 1 second out or 2 seconds out. It's not like I guessed a random number. The thing is, for me, I don't ever look at the overall time. I look at how much I won by.
You won by. Let's talk about that, because you won by 1 minute and 21, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, and all I was thinking was, I'm pretty sure someone had like 22 in their final number. But so that would, and I won by 121. So that's probably why it was 301. And I'm like, I'll go with A. But that's all I was thinking. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was that. But, I don't like your quizzes, mate. Your quizzes are, this is bullshit. Done.
It was a bullshit quiz, mate, but you did okay. You were never that far away from the right answer. But it's always nice to see how people get to the result, rather they just pick something out of the air, or they go through it as if they're kind of reliving it. And that's, so I'm going to award you an extra point for the effort that you've put in to coming to your conclusions. It's frustrating, isn't it? I mean, when you look back at what's happening this year, I mean, it could be a year, mate, where there's no racing at all. It's a strange one, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yeah. And I was asked this, I think it was yesterday. If I think there will be racing, and I was just a little bit tentative to say yes. It's sort of one of those things, you're looking at it, you go, this could get a bit complicated. If borders haven't fully opened worldwide, then how can you even run a Tour de France, one, or run a World Championships that is fair? Because who's going to make everybody, say the Americans don't have their borders open, or Australia or England don't have their borders open. They're not within the EU, so they can't do a dodgy and drive around, right? And find a different route that cops won't be at. But I'm not giving any illegal advice here, by the way.
No.
But like, all of a sudden, say, or if they say, yes, you can leave, and they go, but when you get there, you have to do 14 days quarantine.
Yeah.
And you get there and you have to do 14 days inside on the home trainer before the Tour de France.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, I think we can both, I'd imagine, mate, without wanting to speak for you, that I can understand why the UCI and why the organisers have had to give dates, because it's something to work towards, just in case restrictions are lifted. But I think I'm an optimist, but also I'm a realist as well. And I think, for the reasons you've just described, it's going to be a real challenge. And I think, yeah, they had to try and organise something. But ultimately, I mean, there's one other really interesting train of thought, that let's say a Tour de France happens on the 29th of August, regardless of what we've just said, it happens. And you know how many people are on the tour, and let's not even include the crowd.
Yeah.
One person gets a test positive, the whole thing has to shut.
Yeah.
I mean, the odds, you'd imagine, in like 3 or 4 months' time, of one person having, you know, the virus out of maybe 3 or 4,000 people that are on the Tour de France are pretty high. So, yeah, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome, mate, aren't there?
Well, it's also hotels. You're jumping between 15, 16 different hotels in the space of 23 days. There's, let's be real as well, there's a lot of these hotels in France, Italy, Spain, that are run by older couples. That's their family business. And the old people are the ones who are vulnerable when it comes to this sickness. And you're going to bring in a full two, three teams into a hotel and put them at risk. Obviously, they'll love the business, and they'll probably won't think twice because it is going to keep them afloat. But at the same time, we're at the mercy of the government and the world rules, really, when it comes to this. And cycling community has absolutely zero say when it comes to this. It'll come down to what the government says.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I mean, the thing is, we're all in our own little bubble as we are normally, and we obviously care, you know, very much about our own sport. But when you step away from cycling, I mean, I think it was Dave Brailsford the other day put it quite succinctly in an interview that I read online, and he said that
race is more important than this race.
I mean, nobody's ever died because we didn't put a bike race on. I mean, he's exactly right, and it's brutal, but that is the scenario. I mean, hopefully we can work something out, but it should never be at the detriment of anything else, and it certainly won't allowed to be. It won't be allowed to be that way because we are under the
Even if the Tour de France does go ahead, what I was told yesterday, and correct me if I'm wrong, you are in the media, I am not. Ineos said that if the Tour de France doesn't seem safe to them, we will not be starting.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, we'll be in a similar situation to we were at the start of the year with Paris-Nice. And remember, your team, Ineos, actually stopped racing and a couple of other teams quite a bit earlier than everybody else. At the 1st of March, I think it was, because you guys didn't do Paris-Nice or anything, did you?
No, no Paris-Nice, no Torino. Then Catalunya got cancelled.
Yeah.
That was the first sort of race that got cancelled.
Yeah. So, we're certainly not going to end this podcast on a negative. We've got a few bits, but I think it was just, I just wanted your kind of take on things, mate. But let's try and think as positively as we can. And talking of staying positive, I mean, in terms of, we've talked about your, in a lot of depth, it was almost a Lego podcast. Hopefully we might get some sponsorship, to be perfectly honest with you, mate. Lego. Can you imagine? That would be at Sigma Sports Lego podcast. Absolutely brilliant. We all know we've got a fair bit of lockdown ahead of us. So if you were recommending to the listeners of this podcast what you should be watching on TV, film-wise, what are your recommendations? What have you watched that have really lit your ring?
Lit my ring? Yep. let's jump that thought process right now. Honestly, I watched I've watched nearly two seasons of Ozark. That's been pretty good. You'd like that. I don't know if you watched it before, have you?
No, I was. Do you know what? I was watching the trailer. I was watching Narcos last night, and I saw the trailer for Ozark. And I said to Holly, my wife, I said, "What do you reckon to that? Said it's got really good reviews. So I think that's next on our list."
Yep. And you coming from a police background, we started it a few years ago, or like when it first came out, and it just sort of, we just obviously weren't in the mood to watch something like that, and watched two episodes and got bored. But we've got into it now. We watch at least an episode a night now.
Well, that's a good recommendation. I mean, I've been really behind the curve in terms of movies recently just because of work and stuff. But I did catch up. I watched Joker two nights ago.
Yep.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, we watched that. I reckon that was just before quarantine started.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that was a strong... Strong. I mean, I don't think I've seen a film quite like it. And I'm a big fan of superhero movies and the superhero genre and stuff, mate, and fantasy stuff. But I don't think I've ever seen quite anything like it. It was amazing.
Well, you know, the little scene they have on that chat show at the end or towards the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he just whips out the gun. There's plenty of that in Ozark.
Anybody who hasn't seen Joker, I mean, to be honest with it, I mean, it doesn't matter about spoilers. I mean, Joker's been around for nearly a year and a half, 2 years, so we're not giving too much away. But right, I know exactly what you mean, mate. I know exactly what you mean. I tell you what, in terms of the way the conversation has flowed and linked seamlessly into different sections of the show, that was wonderful. Because what do you do, Rowan, typically when you go to the cinema and you sit down and you watch a film? What else do you have with you apart from your partner or whoever you're with?
Oh, mate,
I will go back to when I was a kid. We watched, I think it was the over the summer holidays, so Christmas holidays in Australia, we had 10, I'm pretty sure it was 10 weeks off school, which is just
wow,
a lot, right?
That's insane.
And I went to 12 different movies with my brother.
And right. Like,
we went and saw 12 different movies, but there was obviously $10 ticket and then a $10 or $10.50 or something for a large popcorn and a large Coke. Yep,
okay.
Which was pretty well gone before the movie even started. And I'll just sit there and I just stare. I go full zombie, just stare, and nothing else is going on in my life except for that movie at that point in time. Like nothing. Brilliant. It's the one thing that I just completely, when I'm in like watching a movie, it's just nothing. There's no noise except for that. So it's, yeah.
That's very cool. That, I mean, because, and it does wind me up a little bit. I mean, especially these days when you see, you're at the cinema and somebody gets their phone.
Idiots on their phone. Why did you even pay?
I know. But it sounds like, I mean, I'm the same. And Joker was one movie that did grip me particularly. And I'm 6 or 7 minutes in, I kind of woke up out of like a trance almost and thought, Jesus, this film has got me, and it pulled me in. And then I just went back. You know what I mean? When you're just in it, and I hadn't even moved my position of my hands. I hadn't even drunk any of the Baileys that I'd poured. It was,
I've got a funny story, honestly, about Baileys. You just made me think of the best story ever.
Okay,
you've met him. Well, you've met his wife. I think you've met him as well. The Paul and Jackie at the gala a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
So
at the Girona Gala, yeah.
Yep. So the Girona Gala. So I was out on the town. I was sort of just at the pub, the Irish pub in Girona, with Paul, and we're just drinking. And he goes, I can't have Baileys because I'm a bit lactose intolerant. I'm like, suck it up, mate. I'm like, no. We're having Baileys and then you choose the next one. And I hate straight whiskey. I hate straight bourbon, any of that sort of stuff.
Right.
And I've made him have a Baileys. Then he's gone, yeah. Okay, Macallan. I'm like, oh, you're a dog. Like, okay, fair enough. Like, I made you drink the worst drink for you and your guts. I'll drink this shit. So, but I've gone, you know what? Get me a Baileys as well.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? I'm like, I'm not drinking that straight. So I just mixed them.
Whoa.
The worst ever thing I've done. Like, you'd think it's like, you know, Irish cream. You just put a bit more whiskey in. It's going to mix in quite well. It didn't.
God.
It curdles. So it becomes quite chunky.
Chunky, what's a good description?
Chunky. Just think of curdled milk. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is just rotten. So I drank it and just about gagged, and I was like, I'm never doing that again. But that night, obviously, there was a period of my life, it doesn't seem to happen anymore, where my body just seemed to process alcohol quite well. Okay. And I'd wake up the next day and I'd train, no problems. Like, not no problems, but I'd always pick and choose the days. I didn't have full gas time trial efforts.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you're definitely not training tomorrow. I'm like, you watch, I'll be training. He was on the toilet.
oh, mate.
Because of the Baileys, he was throwing up and he was both ends. Yeah, that's my Bailey story. You just reminded me. It was the funniest. He sent me a picture of himself and sent, obviously, a message. And he goes, you bastard, you've ruined me.
Oh, my God. I mean, maybe off the back of that story, we might get even like, we might tag Baileys into this podcast and get some Baileys sponsorship, mate.
Why not?
From popcorn in the cinema to Baileys, it leads us nicely on to the next segment of our show. And it's Guess That Snack.
Guess That Snack.
Okay, here we go. It's Guess That Snack. And our guest today, of course, it's Rowan Dennis. We are about, nearly 40 minutes, mate. 40 minutes into the podcast, and it is Guess That Snack. So I don't know if you've listened to last week's podcast. It only went up yesterday. But the premise for this, Rowan, is simple. But I'm going to play around with it. I've got three common snacks, okay? Three potato-based snacks or wheat-based snacks. I'm going to read them out to you.
Three potato or wheat. So they're chips.
or cut like chips. So basically, I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a little bowl. I've pre-prepared them. So what I have, I've got some Doritos. Okay.
You just told me what it is.
Yeah, but I'm going to crunch them and you're going to have to guess. You're going to have to line each one up with the crunch.
Okay.
Okay. So I've got Doritos. Okay. I've got Pringles. Yep.
Yep.
And I've got, do you know Wotsits?
No.
They're basically like Cheetos. They're basically okay. English Cheetos.
So they're quite fluffy and light.
Exactly. So they're bright orange. They're the color of Donald Trump's face.
Perfect.
And they're long and they're kind of light and fluffy. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to crunch each one and I need you to guess which one I've crunched. Okay?
Yep.
So we'll start off with number one. Is this a Wotsit? Is it a Pringle? Or is it a Dorito? Here we go. I'll give you a couple of chances. I've got a couple of examples of each. Here we go.
What's it?
Oh, straight off the bat.
Straight
what's
up.
It? No.
There's way too light to be into a Dorito. Brilliant, mate. Or a Pringle.
Okay. Next up. Well, clearly, is this going to be a Dorito or a Pringle?
Dorito.
Dorito?
Yep.
It's a Dorito! Oh, mate! Absolutely superb snack skills from Rowan Dennis. He's not just a multiple world champion. He's a snack aficionado.
Mate, I ate way too much shit food.
just
for this isn't a bragging right. This is straight up. I need to change my diet.
That was, I mean, you were just like, straight off, yeah, that's a what's it. Mate, that was impressive. I mean, what is your favorite sort of snack? What's your go-to snack? When you've done a lot of training, I mean, it's all about balance, as we know. But occasionally, a good snack is so good for the morale, isn't it?
There's a few things I go for. It depends what's in the cupboard, obviously. But these, I think they're actually Catalan. I'm not 100% sure, but they are, now I've lost, the truffle chips. Truffle chips.
Okay.
If I want like a potato chip sort of thing. Or really, you just can't go past white chocolate. Like I'll eat. If there's two blocks of white chocolate in front of me, now they ranged between 100 and 300 grams. Now I'm never going to grab two 300 gram blocks and put them in front of myself, but
no,
but, I'd take the challenge. The problem is with me, if you open a block of chocolate in front of me, I have to finish it. I don't. It's a sickness, I think. But
right.
It's something that, really, I think, especially during hard sort of training periods, if I'm going to do something that's going to make me feel good because I'm feeling a little bit ratty or shit or something,
yeah.
I'd rather eat something like chocolate than get drunk.
That's a fair enough. That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Really, because especially if you have a day that's going to be hard the next day and you need something to give yourself some sort of morale, you're like, well, I'd love to get absolutely maggot on some really nice wine and like whatever, just have a good night. But it's always going to affect your training the next day. But if you go and eat 100, 300, I usually cap it at 350 grams.
350?
Sometimes I go 400 grams of chocolate. Really, it's not the healthiest thing, but it's not going to ruin your training the next day. You're pretty well just putting just simple shit sugars into your body, which you're probably going to burn if you've got a really hard day the next day. So it's really a thought out process again of what's going to harm me the least and still make me feel good. That's what I generally go with.
That's do you know what? I've never really thought about it like that because when I was racing, you know, at a reasonable level, and I was kind of the same. And I didn't drink much anyway when I was a lot younger. I didn't really drink, wasn't really something I thought about, but I've never heard anybody use that as an analogy because I've never heard of a chocolate hangover, basically. I mean, they're just not a thing, are they? You know, so.
this is another thing that I did. I had a whole bag of Lint balls
And there was,
oh no,
there's 36, exactly 36 of them. I counted them because I ate them all in one hit. And I just laid them out flat on top of each other once I played the wrappers. But that's the thing.
amazing.
And I actually went into a bit of a, like, I was like to my wife, you're going to have to get me some water. I feel sick. I went for like full chocolate coma, feeling sick, like a little bit nauseous. And I was just laying on the couch, just sipping at water afterwards. But basically it was, like I said, a sickness. Whereas as soon as I open something, I have to finish it. I think it might have been drilled into me as a kid, no food left on your plate. It could have been some African kid that would eat that. And you're like, when a kid, you're like, oh, come on, whatever. But it sort of just gets drilled into you. And you feel sort of like, oh, I better eat everything. I don't want to feel bad if I don't eat all the food. So maybe it's that.
I mean, I didn't think today's chat, I knew we'd have a good chat, mate, but I didn't think it'd be quite as insightful in so many different ways. We've talked in depth about Lego. We've talked in depth about snacks and chocolate comas as well. I mean, well, incredible. Cycling.
Well, Sean Kelly put out a thing today about cyclists being too skinny and we need to eat more and be like them. It went back in like the 80s and whatnot, and phew, I am that. We need to have a broader range of nutrition and not stick to super, like, basically malnourishing our bodies. And that's the complete opposite to what I do. I just go all sugar burn this stuff. I don't go into this fat burning thing, just all in, as you saw in Zwift. It's time trialing is my thing, and the rest I just sort of suffer my way through it, really. Get through it.
When you look at blowing smoke up your ass, but when you look at your results, it seems to work for you, doesn't it? I mean, everybody's got their own unique way of, you're nearly 30 years of age, you try and test various methods, but sometimes there's something that you know that works. And that in itself, knowing that you've got a methodology that works, gives you even more kind of confidence, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah. Like, it's obviously not foolproof.
Yeah.
I don't win every time, but it's worked on the main stages. And that's when it works. Obviously it's not a thing where I'm like, if I don't have my 300 grams of chocolate tonight, I'm going to suck tomorrow. It's just a thing that I sort of came across that was a thing that kept me calm and just made me feel good. And if you're happy, you ride well, let's be honest. If you're not happy, you're not going to ride well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, that's a lovely way to wrap up this podcast. It's been that people often ask, you know, when you get young kids asking, you know, some advice, or people say, what's some advice about wanting to become a pro bike rider? I think at first, mate, it's just making sure that you're grounded and you're happy and you enjoy throwing your leg over the bike and just going for a bike ride, don't you? It's enjoying. The moment you don't enjoy this sport, because it is the most brutal of sports, is the moment you've got to just knock it on the head and give it a bit of a rest. You've got to be hungry. But most of all, through the pain, you've got to enjoy it, haven't you?
Yeah, you got to. And like you said, there's always going to be periods where you're like, I hate this sport. And I've hated it so many times. But you sort of just have to regroup and find something that's going to make you enjoy it for a bit and just maybe change your focus. So, and that's what we do during the year. I focus on time trials, but not purely all year just time trials. We want to nail this time trial and this time trial and this one. The rest of them we want to try and win, but it's in a broader picture of doing well in that time trial will set me up for a GC ambition in that 1 week tour. So it's about changing the focus and not just being so single-minded that if that one thing goes to shit, really, which it will, you don't feel like your world's just falling out from underneath you, and you haven't got anything else to fall back onto. So it's about having options, I think, and not just being on one single track, but jumping from one to the other, planned, not just randomly, and keeping everything as fresh as possible.
That's good stuff, mate. That's, I think, pretty sage advice as well. But, mate, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. We're nearly an hour in, mate, so it's whizzed by.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and thank you very much for sending me the photograph of your room. I'll get that posted online very, very shortly. We might use it as the. I mean, if you had that as a picture before on top of the podcast, people would just be intrigued to kind of play, wouldn't they, to listen?
What the hell is this?
Indeed, and you've gone for the panorama as well. I will send it to the team. But yeah, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. Best of
Thanks
luck.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you take care, mate, and all my love to Willis, Mel, and Oliver at home, mate. And no doubt we'll catch up very soon. I'll probably see you on Zwift at some point in the future as well. I think there might be some more races coming up.
So but, we've got some team races coming up as well.
Indeed. Yeah, you've got that Tour of Swiss thing coming up there next week, I believe.
I don't know why I opted to do that, but yep, I thought it would break things up, but I think I'm starting to regret it now.
Oh God! All right, then, mate. Well, you take care of yourself, and it's bye for now, and thanks for joining us, mate. You take care.
Thanks for that, Matt. Appreciate it.
Now, you might remember in last week's pod, Kenny sent me a cassette with his rather meandering thoughts. There's been quite a lot of reaction to that, some good, some not so good. But in any event, I thought I'd play some more of it. Now, the tape did actually break, hence the breakup last time. So I've managed to splice it back together. Well, and here we go. Apologies if it's a bit strange.
I hope everybody is okay. I'm still inside the beef factory. It is very difficult for me, but I am making myself happy. I'm reminding myself of the good times by looking again at my poetry. I'm always looking at life in a different way, creating a small, tiny lists of things that are important to science, to people in these moments, and I will give you some of these today. The first piece of art I have for you in the form of words is a poem for Thomas de Gent. He's one of my favorite Thomases of all time. Yeah, he's the king of the breakaway. He's a nice guy also. And he likes always to have the onions, the family, on a Tuesday, which is nice. This is the poem for Thomas de Gent. Thomas, you are not a Tom, but a proud Thomas, unafraid of the parkour, the hills, the flat, the undulatings, the downhill, the wind in your face, and also on the bench as well. You drink from the well of difficulty, and you are stronger with each sip. That is a poem for Thomas de Gent. I sent Thomas this poem about 1 year ago. He has a little picture on his wall in the toilet, and he has another copy in his aerodynamic shed as well. And I know that the children like this poem. And daily at breakfast, when they are eating the onions on a Tuesday especially, they are always reading it. So I like Thomas a lot. He's a nice guy. I've been working on this next top five for many, many weeks. Okay, it is a complicated top five, it is about cats, but not only cats. It is my top five things that look like cats. And number one, small cows or sheep, when you are making your eyes very small. And number two, rabbits that are wearing a cat mask. Three, photographs or in fact images of actual cats, which can be real or inside your mind. Number four, cats that are made of plastic or the plastic cats. And number five, other cats that are not just normal cats. All of these things to me, ranked in order of importance, look like cats, but are other things other than cats. Also, I've been doing the research on the Simon Yates guy. He's not from Belgium. This is normal. He's from the United Kingdom of England. And I've assembled, talking to Matt White and the team, I've assembled some nice facts about Simon Yates. I speak to him many times. Every week I'm speaking to Simon on facts. Also, we send the little messages using the emojis. My favorite emoji is the electricity. His favorite emoji is the picture of a small parrot. These are my top four facts about Simon Yates that I am aware of. One, he needs to get the U to get the full set of vowels inside his name. Three, he can see in four dimensions due to wearing a special electric hat. which he does not talk about. He has a little hat underneath his cycling hat to give him the ability to see in four dimensions. Four, since 2011, carrots are his number one vegetable. And five, which is the most incredible fact about Simon Yates, he can sleep and cycle in the same moment to save energy. Incredible.
Well, there we go. That was Kenny Van Vlaming, still trapped, it appears, in the pea factory just outside Gitz in West Flanders. And don't forget, you can save up to £750 on BMC bikes at sigmasports.com until the end of April. So get on sigmasports.com/podcast and check it out. Now, if you want to get in touch or submit a question to our next Ask Matt segment, we're all on the major social media platforms. That's at Sigma Sports and at Real Stevens. You can also use the hashtag Matt Stevens Unplugged. I'd like to thank my guests, Kenny Van Vlaming, and of course, world champion Lego collector, Rowan Dennis.
Thank you very much for having me.
What? Are you? You're still there?
Yeah, you called me, mate. I have to listen to you for this last 15 minutes. Jesus.
Oh, sorry about that, mate.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, right. Well, thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. And keep an eye on the Sigma Sports YouTube channel for our next cafe ride, where we had a lot of fun in Belgium. Actually, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it. Please tune in next week. We've got another top guest. But for now, from me, Matt Stevens, it's goodbye. This podcast is supported by Hot Chili. What's hot chili, I hear you ask? Good question. So let's ask the internet.
Hot Chili organises a variety of road and gravel cycling events in the UK and internationally, catering for riders of all abilities. Hot Chili has the cycling community at the heart of everything they do, and have a dedicated app for members to connect with each other.
Wow, sounds great. But of course, I did already know that. Visit hotchili.com or download the Hot Chili app and join the friendliest, funnest cycling community on the planet. Hot Chili is spelled H-O-T-C-H-I-L-L-E-E and .com is spelled full stop C-O-M.